Welcome to a more stripped down, less edited version of Viewer's Choice here on the North-South Connection. I'm Tim.
And I am Marcus.
And it is Dateline 12:05 a.m. Memorial Day Monday. Happy Memorial Day to all of you. If you're listening and you happen to serve in our great, or serve our great country, thank you so much for your service. We appreciate it. And AEW delivered on an event, a live event.
It was an event.
A pay-per-view of sorts. Double or Nothing from Daily's Place. Probably the last pay-per-view we're going to have at Daily's Place for quite some time, I think.
Yeah. You know, it's done. It's been wonderful. It's been a wonderful host for the last almost year. But that was my chair, by the way.
No, it wasn't. He actually tooted. Marcus farted.
But it's time to move on, pal. It's time to hit the road. And, you know, it was good. It was a good run. And it's still, I think it's going to be a welcome stop every now and then. But, you know, I think we've had a good run of Daily's Place for the last year.
You were telling me while we were watching Double or Nothing that you read like a very interesting stat. You want to share that with the class?
Yeah. And don't fact check me, but I believe this is 100% factual.
Just say it as it's fact.
Sure, like, it's fact. Okay, this is fact.
There we go.
There have been more no fan dynamites than there have been dynamites with fans.
And I feel like that's right.
Yeah.
Like even...
Because the show wasn't on for a full year.
Right. Because it debuted in what? October?
Yeah.
Pandemic hits in March at 6 months.
Yeah. And we just had over a full year of
pandemic troubling times wrestling. But before we get into the card, the AEW has already announced the dates and locations for both All Out, which will be in Chicago, mm-hmm. and Full Gear in the Gateway to the West, St. Louis, Missouri.
That's right.
So that's going to be fun. And
two strong Midwest wrestling towns.
And in towns in which, again, I'm going to steal from you, but...
Go ahead. We're a team.
We're a team. Towns in which... WWE never really fully won.
Correct.
The state.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
St. Louis has always been a mushnik town.
Right. It's always been an NWA, WCW town. Chicago has always been a wrestling town. It doesn't necessarily matter the letters on the marquee. They want wrestling.
R-A-S-S-L-I-N. That's wrestling.
That's wrestling.
And that's all they need. They don't need...
Right, they don't need
the dog and pony show.
Right, they don't need to conquer LA. They don't need to conquer New York. Like, take these towns that have rabid fan bases that have been neglected, that are thirsty for wrestling, and give them that.
I mean, they have LA, not LA, but they've got Vegas too.
Right.
Whenever they want to go back to Caesar's Palace, or not Caesar's Palace, but yeah, MGM Grand.
Yeah, MGM Grand.
Whenever they want to go back there, they'll have that too.
Yeah.
So. We apologize for the sound as far as us being kind of quiet, muffled. We're trying to mind our P's and Q's. There's a precious little baby downstairs. We're trying not to wake. And more importantly, a mother bear.
Yes.
Who we do not want to disturb at all.
No.
So if our modulation is a little different, we apologize in advance. But all in all, I think a really solid outing for AEW. This is the first event. I'm not going to count WrestleMania. WrestleMania is special. It is its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's fans or not, WrestleMania is always special. But this is I would say this is the first pay-per-view in front of a full crowd. And boy, if Daily's Place is indicative of what it's going to be like in the rest of the country starting like July, when WWE starts touring, and I think AEW will be touring at that time too. if this is indicative of what a live crowd feel of wrestling is going to be like, sign me up, man.
Yeah, I think absence makes the heart grow fonder. And I think the AEW crowds have been, for the most part, outstanding since their inception. And I think the WWE crowds, I think WWE has tried to make the crowds not a star of the show until they need them to be a star of the show.
I mean, let's go back to the commercial, the famous commercial of Daniel Bryan walking out into an arena full of no one.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing was about the WWE is nothing without the WWE universe.
Right.
And they found a way to try to make the WWE universe both smaller and larger at the same time with the use of the Thunderdome. Let's see how much their goodwill or lack thereof during the pandemic, how much is that going to affect them come live audiences.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not about a WWE show. This is about Double or Nothing, live or from Daddy. Daly's Place.
Yep.
And we're going to start all of this off with a great 60-minute Broadway.
Sure are.
That we had to start our show. We unfortunately missed Adam Page versus Brian Cage because the BR Live app on Amazon Fire Stick could possibly be the worst digital application experience I have ever had.
I was trying to keep it cool, but I think you could tell I was getting half hot.
Because I'm sitting here, I'm letting Marcus drive. Like, we've joked in the past, if it looks like a computer, if it smells like a computer, it ain't his thing. He's no. The pick them up and put them down guy. And I'm the brain guy. Like, if you've seen The Italian Job, I'm Seth Green in the terminal.
Yes.
Fixing the, like, woo, I got the Holy Spirit. Like, that's me. And you're literally everyone else in The Italian Job. But he is trying his best to...
This starts at like 7:45.
Yeah, plenty of time before the show. So he's pulling up and like, we're trying to find the BR Live app on the PlayStation. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, poof, kaput, nothing. So then we go to the Amazon Fire Stick. Gotta log in, can't log in, reset your password, can't reset your password gets sent to spam. You fix that, you reset it, then you get in, you log in, you go and you try to pay. It doesn't let you pay, so then you have to click this screen to get back, then it lets you pay, then you try to pay. And when you pay, then you have to have another password. Well, you don't have that password, so you gotta try to reset that password. And you 25 minutes and I don't know what the heck we did. Long story short, Marcus is out here doing the Lord's work, and they paid for Double or Nothing twice.
Twice. Because
they ended up getting it on the Amazon Fire Stick after we purchased it on the Fire Stick, but it doesn't pull up.
No. It's as if it never went through.
Never went through. But we get the receipt.
Sure do.
So we...
They took that money.
They always take that money. Jeff Bezos don't play. So... We end up getting it directly from the BR Live app. Everything's cool. We're watching it on a laptop connected to HDMI. But we miss Adam Page and Brian Cage, which, from all reports, is a watch match.
Okay. I'll trust it. You know, Brian Cage isn't necessarily my cup of coffee.
But Adam Page is absolutely two large cups of my coffee.
Without question.
So I think two cups plus zero cups equals one total cup of coffee.
Yeah, we'll take that cup.
And we will take that cup.
Yeah, it sounds like a fun opener. Sounds like a good choice for an opener. Page went over, right?
Yes.
So good call there. And always good to see Taz, because I did see the memes of Taz floating around in his hot boy summer attire.
Very, very true. Very true. But we start our viewing of Double or Nothing with the AEW tag team titles. Well, actually, we'll run through the results straight up, and we'll do this like we're supposed to, because even though it's 12:15 and I'm a little tired, my eyes are a little heavy.
My eyes are getting weary.
I'm a little sleepy deepy.
My back is getting tight.
That's right.
I'm sitting here in traffic. It's King of Queens.
Oh, no. I don't. Okay. I thought for some reason you were trying to be Clarence.
No.
No. Double or nothing. You're getting everything, folks.
Oh, we are getting
Double or nothing.
Adam Page beats Brian Cage.
The Young Bucks defeat the Wild Things of Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston. We got the Casino Battle Royale with Jungle Boy, Jungle Jack Perry winning.
Huh.
The three-star general himself, Cody Rhodes, defeats Anthony Ogogo. We didn't come up with that nickname, so it's nice. It's an homage.
Credit. A loving tribute.
Thank you, Godfather. The best man, Miro, defeats Lance Archer. Britt Baker, DMD, becomes the new AEW World Women's Champion by beating Hikaru Shida. Sting and his son, Darby Allin, defeat Scorpio Sky and All Ego Ethan Page. We've got Kenny Omega beating Orange Cassidy and the Bastard Pack. And then Stadium Stampede 2 with the Inner Circle and the Pinochle. So,
I'm ready for the storyline that
Sting and Darby Allin are actually related.
And Sting's the uncle that Darby thinks is dead but isn't.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That's going to be great. I can't wait. I love how Sting has to pick Darby Allin up from like skate park practice in some assorted vehicle, whether it's a truck or now he's a lowrider, picking him up and bringing him to the school.
That Sting money's pretty good. He started a car collection now.
I know, he sold all of his Gold's Gyms and now he's got just an assortment of cars at his leisure, just at his beck and call. A drop top, man. That's nice.
What desert is in Florida? I don't know Florida geography all that well. But I know you got the panhandle. I know you got
whatever it is. It's the snowy desert because it snows with Sting too. So it's a snowy desert. Maybe it's not snow. Maybe it's sand. And he's in a desert. It's a sand, white sand. Not snow, man. So. Of everything we watched.
Yes.
What is your A must watch match for you of Double or Nothing?
I'm going to go with the AEW World title match.
Okay. Pac, OC, and Kenny Omega.
They combined the best parts of 2021 and 1999. Russo, Brucey, Patterson, and Vince sitting around a pool.
Okay, explain.
So it had all the action, all the false finishes of 2021, right? Spectacular moves, callbacks to submissions, all that good stuff. But it also had some classic WWF wrestling tropes. The ref getting pulled out, the ref getting double axe handled, a low blow right in front of the referee, and a no disqualification match. What else we got in there? The triple threat elimination spot where somebody hits a big move and somebody gets thrown out of the ring and you think that's going to be the finish. That happened, I think, twice. It was a really healthy combination, I thought, of what some might call overbooking and 2021 high intensity action. Like, it was a perfect blend between the two, and it somehow left a lot of meat on the bone so that if they want to go in a one-on-one direction, if they want to add a fourth person in, if they want to tell the redemption story of Orange Cassidy being literally inches away from becoming world champion, they want to do the story of Pac never actually being involved in the decision, needing his one-on-one shot as he's beaten Omega before, and he's probably the last dude to really beat Omega, I think. you know, it, they can go in any direction, or they could just go with new challenge, with a new challenger. It was really well done, and Omega squeaked out the victory. It took the air out of the building, but I think it was done in a good way, because you knew Omega was going to retain, because he's going to have this God run, and but they made you believe that OC was going to do it. And at the same time, Pac was that dude. So if he won, you weren't going to be mad. It was really well done. And I'm not by any stretch the biggest Kenny Omega fan, and I thought this was probably one of the best outings I've seen him have.
I think he was very palatable here. He wasn't put in a predicament or put in a situation where he had to do everything.
Less was more.
Yes. I can agree with you that this is probably one of my favorite Kenny Omega outings. It's a match where we have a winner, but we don't have any losers.
Right.
OC comes off looking like $1 bazillion, rope-a-doping. He had both Pac and Omega exactly where he wanted him. And it just so happened he got beat with a wrestling hold. Like, yes. a flash crucifix out of the blue.
Like, with the new referee running, too.
Right. So, all in all, must see. It's definitely worth your time. I think it's like the second longest match of the night.
Yeah.
But still really good. Really excellent stuff.
What's your must watch match of the night?
So I'm torn, because I feel like everyone must watch Stadium Stampede for the spectacle of Stadium Stampede. Mm-hmm. But I was going through Twitter before we went live, and a friend of the show, doesn't really know we do the show, but he's a friend of ours anyways, Grant Akuma, mm-hmm. Mentioned that, you know, we've got live crowds now. Why do a theatrical, cinematic style match with a live crowd?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, you gave us the finish we wanted, or a finish we wanted, in the building with everyone to see. But everything else leading up to it, the live crowd, who had been there for you the entire night, had to watch on the screen in Daly's place.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to pick that as my must watch. It's like an asterisk much must watch, yeah, for me. Instead, I'm going to pick the AEW tag team titles.
Okay.
Aside from the finish, which I didn't necessarily care for, with the four consecutive BTE triggers, mm-hmm, by the Young Bucks onto Jan Maxley, 95% a great tag team match.
Mm-hmm.
We're very pro Eddie Kingston in this house.
Without question.
I think that they both did tremendously well. I think the Young Bucks have finally embraced their purest form.
Yes.
This is the Young Bucks form that we can kind of not get behind, but you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's the Young Bucks of 20, I you know, I don't know the year, 2014, 2015, the obnoxious super kick everything, tongue in cheek Young Bucks, but now they have money.
Yeah. It's like now they can be like, now they can really tell you, like before they were just upstarts, just telling you what you could do with yourself. And now they're executive vice presidents of a company that they're tag team champions of. Now they can really tell you,
right,
where to stick it.
Yeah. They got that FU money.
They got that bite me money.
Bite me.
But all in all, I think it was a fantastic tag team match. Aside from my personal choice of the finish, not a fan of the BT trigger.
I did not like the Bucks who are supposed to be these heels out toughing Moxley and Kingston.
The tough guys.
Who have just been eating people up on television.
Including the Young Bucks.
Yeah, I would have made a title switch here and then switch the titles back on TV.
Especially with the first night in front of the live crowds.
Yeah.
Tonight could have played out like WrestleMania did in certain degrees. A lot of fan service, a lot of stuff that you can easily retcon and remedy in a night or two of television
mm-hmm.
after the fact.
Right, because you do a title switch here on the pay-per-view, people are going to go crazy. You also do a title switch on the road to get back to where you're going to.
Right.
People are going to go crazy because they just witnessed a title change.
Yes.
But yeah, and if you're going to have the Young Bucks go over, I would have found a cheaper way for them to go over. That's just my opinion, though.
Right.
You know,
I guess you don't want to do a roll up because you're going to do a roll up later.
Right.
You don't want to cheat to win. Like, I guess you could cheat to win.
Yeah, there are so many people in
play
there.
But in match two, like, again.
All right. But it's a pay-per-view and it's AEW and it's kind of do everything every match.
Yeah. I mean, it's... I know we're making it sound like maybe this isn't a must-see match on the card. But at least for me, I think that the omissions that are made here aren't necessarily in the match itself, but more of like the decision making
right.
behind the match.
Right. Like the last 15 seconds of the match shouldn't negate absolutely everything in this circumstance.
Of a 21 minute match.
Right. That
like,
was
like super, super hot start.
Yeah.
Super great. A nod. I'm seeing this more often. A reverse heel face.
Mm-hmm.
Opening part mm-hmm. where the good guys are double teaming and getting ahead on the bad guys, and the ref is misdirected on the bad guy side, so he can't see the good guy double team.
Little Heart Foundation,
you know. But all in all, I think that was really good.
I think this was the second best tag team match of the night, though.
Oh.
Because I would say...
The Stadium Stampede.
Not the Stadium Stampede. I'm talking about Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page with Darby Allin.
And his Uncle Dad, Sting.
That was really, really good.
Yeah.
Very
palatable. Again, the word palatable.
It was perfect. Like, you know, was it a 5-star match? No.
Did it have to be?
No. Did it hit all of the Sting spots beautifully? Did Sting look really good? Did Sting keep up with, you know, two guys working a faster style?
Two guys who may total combined be the same age as Sting.
Right.
Actually, I don't think that's true. I think total combined, they're older, but yeah. They play younger on television.
The one thing, you know, I'm a size queen.
Yes.
Sting looked huge.
Well.
Like, I know Scorpio Sky is cut up. He's ripped up. He's jacked. He's ripped. He's tan. I know Ethan Page.
Body guy.
But body guy. Really got it together. But it's like, oh, don't forget Sting is like 6'4".
Former bodybuilder.
Jack, right. Like
old man jacked.
Old man body guy. He looked really good, and he took his shirt off after he hit like his big dive or whatever.
Before the big dive.
And the place went banana.
I mean, now we all know, well, you may not know, but Marcus has an affinity for, if you want to be one of Marcus's wrestlers of the night, you best be wrestling in a shirt.
I don't know what it is, man. It brings a smile to my face.
Wrestling in a shirt. And Sting was about on his way. And then he took the shirt off. So you're telling me that Sting without the shirt gets more points.
If you start with a shirt and end without a shirt, I somehow love it even more.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because you got so worked up.
I got to take it off.
Working up a sweat.
Yeah. I thought it was an excellent match.
I thought so too.
And especially for us being Sting fans, like Sting is my number two favorite wrestler of all time.
Right.
And to see the way that he went out in 2015, which was not bad, but you don't want to see him go out being hurt.
Right.
And that's another match where he was keeping pace with somebody who at that time was in the discussion for being best in the world.
And still is in that discussion.
Right.
For best in the world.
Right.
And Sting, in the match with Seth Rollins, Sting was keeping Seth's pace.
Yes.
Where in this tag team match, Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page kept Sting's pace.
Right.
And I think that worked out really well. Like, they were able to pick up the tempo with Darby.
Yes.
And use Darby as their ping pong ball. God bless All Ego Ethan Page for bam-bamming little spike Darby into the crowd.
Good spot.
I saw your jaw drop. Good spot. Even, it's still insane to look at and see. Because that's a long throw.
It was a long throw. And doing that with boards and stuff moving underneath you, I was impressed. It was good stuff. And Ethan Page is no Bam Bam Bigelow.
That underneath all of that stuff in the ring is just hardwood.
Oh, well, you know, haven't you ever seen a terrible match where they take the ring apart?
No, like what? Which who? Who did that?
Oh, wasn't that in the AEW match recently? Or no, was that WWE? Where'd they just do that spot? And I just hated it. It wasn't WrestleMania, was it?
They knew that no, at I don't think it was. Was it Backlash? Was it Backlash. WrestleMania Backlash?
It was WrestleMania Backlash, I think.
I don't remember who.
No, they didn't. There was some match. Was it Fastlane? Who took apart the ring? I hate that spot.
was there an AEW or an NXT spot?
I think it might have been NXT.
I don't know, but Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, aka Tomato Champs, he is. They're the most egregious offenders of the. Oh, let me show you what's underneath the ring. Was it Cool Kyle and Adam Cole?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, Cool Kyle.
I hate that spot.
I hate Cool Kyle.
I like this AEW show, though.
I do too. Of course, not everything can be great.
No.
Is there anything that is must skip?
Must skip? Let me run down. Cody Rhodes and Anthony Ogogo. To say that I was disappointed with the response of Jacksonville, Florida. Maybe I need to reassess my hope in humanity if I'm counting on Jacksonville, Florida to be any kind of pulse of the nation.
If you are counting Jacksonville, Florida, hold on, let me preface this by saying, if you're listening to this and you're from Jacksonville, we're not talking about you. We're talking about the Jacksonville, Florida that was in attendance for AEW Double or Nothing. Yeah. Now, if you're listening to this and you were in Jacksonville and you were at Double or Nothing, shame on you.
Shame. I think we saw on Twitter, we said the same thing in our house. Cody Rhodes just needed the wig.
Yeah, shout out to Jonesy from Pod Van Dam.
Because I said he needs lore,
that Cody Rhodes, all he needed was the powdered wig.
He looked like the Quaker oatmeal dude.
Somebody posted a picture of Cody in that sweet general's jacket, and then a picture of a red, white, and blue nutcracker right next to it. Looked like they were wearing the same jacket. Cody is Cody's Mr. Do Everything, and I've gone from being a Cody stan to a Cody naysayer in a relatively short time period. Just Cody seems to be a do everything, devil may care. Like, why do you have to be the American Dream? Why? why does he need WrestleMania pyro every week? Why does he, like, this match would have been really great if Arn Anderson would have, like, clobbered him.
Yeah, that's why I thought this was going. I thought Arn Anderson was going to turn babyface and turn on Cody. I'm at this spot with Cody where within the world of AEW, he's not going to challenge for the world title.
Maybe.
Right. Allegedly. But he's also...
Unbeknownst to him.
He's also too big for the TNT title.
That's his belt.
Even though it's his belt. So that would make Cody Rhodes an attraction.
But we see him all the time.
We see him all the time. And I... If there's nothing for him, then there's nothing for him.
And there's always going to be something for him because it's Cody Rhodes.
Right.
And that's my problem.
Like, this felt like... This would have been an amazing Dynamite main event with more build.
This is the prime coming out party for young Anthony Ogogo.
He looks like a world beater.
Like, what harm is it to knock out the American Dream on Memorial Day?
Yeah, I thought they should have went on one of those Rocky movies, though.
Yeah.
Like, quick knockout.
Stoppage.
Right.
Not even like a knockout. Stoppage.
Straight up stoppage.
The ref. Arn calls it.
Throwing a towel.
Blood puking.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Liver punch.
I had to throw on the towel. That's a little Terry Funk. I don't have an Arn.
Oh. Don't want the towel. But yeah, I could really leave Cody and Anthony Ogogo as much as I don't want to. Is there anything else that I could leave?
I know for me, I'm gonna leave the Stadium Stampede.
Okay.
And maybe it was just me at the time that we watched it, because AEW be hitting these 4-hour pay-per-views, which, I mean, if it's a Saturday, it's
little,
one thing.
It's a little sleepy dog right here.
Right, and I understand it's Memorial Day, but whatever.
This is the day we're supposed to catch up on sleep, and instead you making me have to go, I ain't going to be home till 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I'll hit
and it. Then I'm going to have to wake up early and edit and post this final resting place, because I ain't going to have time to do it today.
Yeah, I'll hit pass on Stadium Stampede. And
I'll say watch a, if you can find like a super clip highlights, because there are some cool spots.
Right, but they also had like 40 minutes to get some cool spots in there.
Agreed.
So if out of 40 minutes, you're going to be able to find 2 minutes.
14. I think there's 14 total salvageable minutes of everything.
Possibly.
Like when we thought we were going to watch a murder at the very beginning of the thing, when the Inner Circle jumped off the Tron.
I legit thought I had seen something bad.
And then Urban Meyer and Charlie Strong showing up.
That was something. You know,
that's cool for us.
Probably the best thing that Urban Meyer will do this season.
That's not true. He's already signed Tim Tebow.
Oh, gosh.
You know, Tim Tebow is not only the number one best-selling jersey in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He is the number two best-selling jersey in the NFL. Home and away, 1-2.
Oh, it's insane.
Merchandising.
Oh, man.
I can also pass on, and I know you're going to hate me for this, I can pass on Miro and Lance Archer.
I don't hate you for it.
It's two big meaty men bumping meat. It's also a really nice spot of Miro throwing a fastball snake up the ramp.
Trying to make some more Quake burgers.
That's right. Gotta eat.
That's bullshit.
But you want to talk about a match being a Dynamite match? That's this match. Like, this match got put on pay-per-view because it's the first pay-per-view in front of a live crowd.
Right, defend the TNT title.
Defend all the titles.
And these are two big guys that, no, I don't mean just physically big. I mean, like, you know, if you're looking at the depth chart of AEW, these guys are closer to the top than they are the bottom. These are two players, to quote old Jim Ross. So you got to feature these guys on pay-per-view.
Right.
I liked it. I would give it a watch, but it's not...
it's not destination television.
Right, and it's definitely for an acquired taste.
For sure.
I thought it was really good storytelling with two big heavyweights doing heavyweight stuff. And that's right. That's my style of wrestling. That's my brand.
I hear that.
I also hear my chair squeaking. Sorry about that.
I'm putting deep, deep ones in the bottom of the seat. So let's kind of go top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Give the good watch or pass.
All right.
We can't speak on Adam Page and Brian Cage. Let us know at VC on North South if we need to go back and actually watch this match. But we'll start with the tag team match. Watch or skip?
Watch.
Watch. Next up on the list is the Casino Battle Royale.
Watch.
I would watch too. I'd rewatch it. Really great finishing sequence.
Absolutely.
And you'll see it when you see it. Cody and Anthony.
Skip.
Miro and Lance Archer.
I'll give it a watch.
I'll skip. Britt Baker, DMD, and Hikaru Shida.
Skip.
I will say skip.
Oh, come on, skip.
Good match. A little long.
Yeah.
A little long. Sting and Sun versus Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. It's
big,
a watch.
Big watch.
Triple threat. Or excuse me, three-way match for the AEW World Title. That's a watch.
Watch.
Stadium Stampede. We're split. I'm a watch. You're a skip.
I'm a skip.
All right. So Marcus, of everything we saw, who is the AEW Double or Nothing 2021 MVP?
I'm gonna go with Orange Cassidy.
Okay.
Felt like he came out of the night, went in the biggest babyface of the night, and I think he left an even bigger babyface, even in a loss. I think his stock rose the most tonight.
I would say, yeah. I think that's fair. I'm actually going to go with a match we both said we're going to skip on, but I think the MVP is Britt Baker, DMD.
Okay.
She came into this match as kind of an anti-hero in a way.
Yes.
Like, bad guy in name alone.
Yes.
The fans were obviously behind, and in their own way of trying to do a double turn tonight, it felt like they dirtied up Shida a little bit.
A little, yeah. Threw some gray on her.
Threw some gray, and they rubbed some of the dark out on Britt.
Mm-hmm.
She goes home as the new AEW Women's World Champion, standing victorious. Crowd go banana. The official DMD era has started in AEW, the AEW Women's Division. It's going to be interesting to see a woman hold that title that can
appeal to the largest section of the audience. The truth is that we live in the United States of America, which is still primarily white, and that is the majority of the audience. She's going to appeal to the most people.
And she is more of a storyteller outside of the ring than she is inside of the ring.
Right. Like, she checks all the boxes outside of the ring. You know, she has a great look. She has a great job outside of wrestling. She has a great education.
Wait,
she has a great story.
Did you know she's a dentist?
And a doctor.
But if you rolled your ankle and you needed a splint, I would definitely go to the urgent care and not
that kind of doctor.
Not that kind of doctor.
Yeah. But she checks all the boxes outside of the ring. And I think as far as in ring, she has improved so much from the start of AEW, where I felt like she was kind of pegged to be the ace babyface, or at least the ace of the division.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, just being brutally honest, she was not ready for it at that time.
It was almost like there was no one ready.
Right. There was no one.
Because she was not ready.
There was no
one. No one was ready.
And we kind of stumbled through, I felt like, Rio and Nyla Rose. And we eventually land with Shida. And I'm like, out of everybody, I think that Big Swole was probably the best available. And they didn't go with Big Swole, but they did go with Sheeta. And I was like, okay, well, I think Sheeta proved to be, if you're not going to go Big Swole, I think Sheeta proved to be the best option on the board while Britt was getting ready and seasoning her chops. And
right.
Britt is, I think, clearly ready now, especially outside of the ring. And I think she's going to get a lot. I think we're going to see a lot of mainstream interest now in the AEW women's division. Sheeta was a tremendous champion through the pandemic era and did really well. And it would have been nice to have her have some more title defenses with people, especially a little bit of her story and how hard like the pandemic hit her and being international and being here in the States during the pandemic and going back and forth. And just, there's a lot of story there with Sheeta, and I feel
she
bad.
She just ended up being match girl.
Right. And I feel bad that, hey, crowds are back, we're going to go with Britt Baker now. That's what it feels like. I know that's not necessarily the situation,
but that's what it feels like.
That's what it feels like.
It's what it looks like.
But I also know that's not it. Like, the time has come for Britt. She put on that tremendous match with Thunder Rosa.
Correct.
Which, you know, to be critical of AEW, they say wins and losses matter. Well, Britt lost that match. I haven't seen Thunder Rosa in a high-profile match, but Britt has picked up all these wins on YouTube.
Right.
And now she's on pay-per-view,
mm-hmm.
and now she's a new champion. So you can make an argument that it makes the YouTube shows count more and that you need to watch them and that those wins matter just as much as the TV wins, but the same time, it is all about presentation, and Britt has been presented like an even bigger star coming out of that no disqualification hardcore match a couple months ago.
Of course. Let us know who you think the MVP of the night is on Twitter at VCU North South. You can also hit up the Facebook thread, and you can hit us up on email at viewerschoicepodcast@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on the pay-per-view, MVPs, etc., etc. Is there anything we're missing as far as Double or Nothing goes, Marcus?
World's Strongest Man, Mark Henry.
Yes.
That is another big pickup, and I know it was rumored for a little bit. I know that that was someone on Big Show's target list, as, you know, somebody who could really come in and make a difference behind the scenes for AEW. And who knows? Maybe he's got a lot left in the tank.
All I know is I'm tickled pink. I was shocked when I saw Mark. I was tickled salmon pink, baby. Very pleasantly surprised to see Mark Henry here in AEW. Looks like he's going to be an analyst, a commentator, if you will, for AEW Rampage.
That's right.
Starting August 13th on TNT or TBS?
TNT.
TNT. The TBS deal isn't until 2021.
2022.
Yeah. It says 2021.
It's 2021,
you idiot.
We're live, pal.
About. We're live here. So yeah, Mark Henry being with AEW, huge win. Another little sneak out of the cupboard of WWE, for sure.
Yeah, and you know, we don't want to get wrapped up in wrestling war because it's not, right? But at the same time, AEW has quietly been forming a team, to quote John Cena. And it's shot after shot after shot in this invincible armor that has been WWE for the better part of the last 20 years.
And it's kind of proof that, like, WWE over the last 20 years had been able to be lock, stock, and barrel over their talent.
Right.
Like, even when TNA lost Christian Cage and Kurt Angle and Rhino and Team 3D and, like, the Blueprint, Matt Morgan, and I'm trying to think of, like, who else that they lost that was, like, Gail Kim.
Mm-hmm.
But they lose all of these big pieces, or what we perceive as big pieces.
Mm-hmm.
WWE is just right there behind, ready to like sweep up, bring in someone new, and pretend like we never missed them.
Right.
But when you have 20 years of that,
correct,
you cycle out maybe a little earlier than some would say. Very valuable pieces like The Big Show, like Mark Henry, like Christian, to make room for your future, which is kind of what the WWE universe and like the internet wrestling community has been wanting. Stop giving us the same old people, give us the new people. But also, Christian's somebody that like everybody roots for.
Yeah, it's like, who is leaving? They're like, okay, you don't have to throw out like
not
the baby.
Him.
You don't have to throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Right. Like Christian and Mark Henry and The Big Show are like our favorite old shirts.
Yes.
Yeah, they're old and they're a little worn out, and like the printed graphic on the front of the shirt is peeling. But it still fits.
And it still feels good and it smells good.
And sometimes if I'm sick, I'm wearing it.
Yeah.
Because it's a comfort shirt.
And especially that Christian shirt. That's a still going out shirt.
Yeah, it is.
It does a lot of good work.
That's right. So, aside from Mark Henry and everything else, do we cover everything? I think that's
all the major points.
Grand detail. So we are here at the North-South Connection, northsouthconnection.podbean.com. It's your home for this and many, many other podcasts. Dropping in the next couple of days, we're going to have another fantastic rendition of Wrestling Warzone. We're going to have more Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast. We're going to have more Next Gen on a Mission. So many different eras and housing points of wrestling to cover, and so much more can be found at northsouthconnection.podbean.com. We'd love for you guys to check out all of the podcasts all under one podcast feed. It's here for you. If you enjoy what we say here, we do this more regularly over at the Soon to Be Named Network, soon to be named network.com, soon to be named network.tumblr.com, for Final Wrestling Place. It's where we take the nouns of professional wrestling, the persons, places, things, and ideas, and we assign them arbitrary red points and green points and put them in the good place or the bad place. And this season, we're taking stables, some of the most iconic stables in wrestling history, and we're talking about the members therein and creating the good place and bad place versions of these stables. And we start off with probably the largest stable in wrestling history in the New World Order. So check us out at Final Place Pod on Twitter. Search for Final Wrestling Place wherever you get your podcasts, all across this great internet globe. Shout out to our other friends, our pod adjacent friends over at We Need Wrestling and At Odds with Wrestling and Three Count Thursday. Pod Van Dam, The A Show. Guys do great work. Check them out. If you want to follow the show on social media, we're not as active as we like to be. We're going to pick that up at VC on North South. If you want to follow me on social media, it's at Not The Tool Man. If you want to follow Marcus, it's at The Wrestling Speakeasy. If you know, you know. Marcus, are we missing anything?
Don't think so. That's it, pal.
All right. As we mentioned before, have yourselves a wonderful Memorial Day if you're listening to this on Monday. Go check out Final Wrestling Place. It'll be up a little bit later today as well. Enjoy your holiday. Get some good grill food going. Spend some time with your loved ones. And we will be back here for, I believe, NXT TakeOver In Your House.
In Your Face.
So we will see you back here at Viewer's Choice then. Marcus, tell the people goodbye.
Choice is yours.